Welcome in to the Fifth Line Podcast. We are back after a brief hiatus.
Yeah, brief is about right.
I think the last time we were on was like probably, a month?
Yeah, it was celebrity bartending, so yeah, it's probably been about a month.
It's been a while, but hey, we're back, and we are back right in time because the Blue Jackets are hashtag hot.
Hot. And we spell that with H-A-W-T.
with a little emoji flame.
Yes.
Right after it.
Yes, because we're basic like that.
Yeah, but the last podcast we had, I mean, the Jackets since then have won 8 straight games. Maybe we should never do a podcast again. Is that what this is telling
us? Maybe we
are bad luck.
No, I think we spurned it because I think like the last
we did.
Yeah, we got to take some kind of credit, right?
Yeah, I think it's our responsibility, and we are the reason they're winning.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Jackets have won 8 straight games. Franchise record, best start. We're at 19-5-4, which let's just think about. Let's digest that. Let's stop here for a second and think about that. Yep. Least regulation losses in the National Hockey League of any team.
Yes.
That puts us at 42 points.
Best winning percentage, basically.
Essentially, yeah, because we have about 4 games in hand on first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, percentage-wise, we're not the fancy stat gurus, and we can't do math. But that tells us, in my mind, that we're technically kind of first place.
We'll post a graph later on Twitter. Like, I mean, obviously, you guys like graphs, right?
I mean, anything visual,
yeah,
really helps.
Yeah, we'll post a graph. Like it'll be like a basically a skyrocketing mountain.
Like the Yodel Man on Price is Right.
But he's not falling off the cliff.
Absolutely not.
We're gonna
put Bob at the end of the cliff, and he's gonna protect him from not falling off. But
we can name the Yodel or Bob.
There we go.
There.
I like it.
Because you know why? Bob is carrying this team right now.
Bob is, I mean, a healthy Bobrovsky, man.
Lights out.
Yeah.
Like he says nyet a lot.
Yeah, it's been a thing of beauty to watch. And like I said, 42 points now in the season. 9-0-1 in our last 10. Bob has 18 wins, most wins by a goaltender in the National Hockey League.
Basically earning that paycheck.
Oh, 100% earning it. Yeah. I would pay him more if I could.
I would just give him a hug.
Yeah.
Nick Foligno does that.
They should have a fundraising day for the Blue Jackets Foundation.
Yes.
Where it's like a kiss booth, but it's a hug booth.
Thank you.
I mean, I just said that.
I have totally said that.
You've never said it to me.
I know, but I've said it to other people.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, like, do a hug booth with those two guys.
You'd think with some of the ideas that we come up with, the Jackets would be like, hey, maybe we should hire you guys on full time.
Yeah, thank you. I would enjoy that.
I mean, come on.
Well, and I'll be honest with you.
Free beer day is another idea on my part.
Cheap beer day.
How about dollar beer days?
Dollar beer days.
Come on now.
And then Amish can make the cup like they did for the Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And special cups. Listen, all right, so if you don't know me and Jordan, we're marketing minds.
Yeah.
Like, we know what we like. We know what fans like. And
we are the fan. We're
Yeah, we're not above you guys, but we're not below you guys either, so.
We're right in the middle.
So anyway, we come up with these harebrained ideas. Obviously, it's worked for us in the past. Hashtag, we are the fifth line.
Hashtag, swag.
Yeah, swag. So anyway, I think that beer night would be essentially awesome. And
they do it at the crew games.
Well, and then it'd have to be Goon. It'd have to be Land Grand
Goon.
Oh,
yeah. Dude, I had that for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
It's great. And kudos to Land Grant. They knocked it out. It was
Land
great.
Grant, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast with Goon, we will have – I mean, you don't even have to give us money. Just, you know, every now and again, drop off a six-pack at our front door. That'd be great.
And a T-shirt with the mascot that you have on the can.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
I love it.
I would love to have that. I would rock the mess out of that, especially on third jersey night because they have the third jersey colors going on with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do. It's a dope can, dope beer. You should go drink it, even though we're not even endorsed by them. But
We need endorsements. Like, obviously,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like, we need Christmas money. So.
We first need to decide on a day to do our podcast each week before we decide that. Maybe maybe have a regular pattern of doing it
we need
before
to
we try to do that. I don't know.
Well, we're too busy adulting, both of us now.
We are.
We're too busy adulting.
Took you a while to get there, but you got there.
I did, but you know what, though? It had to be the perfect job. And hey. I'm in a great job. I want to thank everybody that has stuck with me through thick and thin. You know, my mom, my dad. You know, this is my acceptance speech of employment.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's you got to do what you got to love what you do. Totally feel that.
Yeah, I just started this week, and it's, like, incredible, and people are asking me at the new job about the Blue Jackets. They're like, what's going
on? Dude, that's the talk around Columbus, and it's literally now, you can slowly but surely, the whole city of Columbus is starting to rally around the team.
Right.
I mean, we got off to a great start. Mm-hmm. I mean, a fantastic start in the beginning of the season. I mean, we're still technically kind of in the beginning, but fans were still kind of skeptical. They're like, well, it's the Blue Jackets. You know, they're going to, at some point, plummet to their death, and I'm not going to invest in watching this team. Slowly but surely, high-profile people in Columbus, the average fans in Columbus, the news media, mm-hmm. the radio, everybody is now talking about the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and I think everybody is always waiting for the sky to fall. And yeah. It's like, you've got to get that mentality.
When you live in Ohio your whole life, yeah. you always wait for the sky to fall.
You always wait for that wall to hit you. And yeah. and with this team, the way it's built and the way that training camp went, like, just – oh, I
– sorry, I've lowered my volume to drink a beer, and you just stopped talking.
Well, like, the whole thing went down, so that
no,
was –
no, your mic was still going.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want people to, like, hear the digestion of my
the,
beer
the
going
gulping.
Down. Yeah.
So we did a really good thing. Like, I mean, I'm not telling you. Like, this whole Blue Jacket thing right now is built for the last thing. The training camp kind of gave you a snippet of that because we were terrible mm-hmm. preseason, which I said, if we have a terrible preseason, we're going to have a great season coming up. Torts worked the crap out of them. But what he did was he extracted that extra gear they have now for our third period, which is our money period.
I was going to bring that up if you weren't going to.
I did. I'm sorry.
You did. And what Torts said was we're going to be built for the third period to outlast that team.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're doing. And
it's amazing. It's like watching a team blossom in front of you. Like it's like one of those biannuals, like you don't see very often, and all of a sudden it blooms and mm-hmm. it goes away. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing the bloom. We're seeing, and not just that, we're getting help from the most incredible
every
players.
Single line,
right.
every different player on this. On this team is contributing. I think I saw a stat. Somebody tweeted it out. I don't know who, so if I don't give you credit, don't whine at me. Like the Blue Jackets have had, I think, 16 to 17 different scorers on the team that have scored the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
Which is like a remarkable
remarkable
feat when your whole team is contributing on that level.
That's almost everybody on the team.
Yeah.
With the exception of two, like – I think we're all waiting for Ryan Murray to kind of hit his offensive stride.
I think we're all waiting on Bobrovsky to hit that game-winning goal as well.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know what? He's got an assist.
He has. He has an assist on the season, which is great.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, and that's the kind of stuff that, like, you see out of championship teams. You see all four lines contributing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never a dull moment with those lines.
Yeah.
Josh Anderson, my God.
Yeah.
I think
he reminds me. I'm wanting to bring him up, but you can say whatever you want. He reminds me of Nash meets Bull.
Yes.
Can you – I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you may think I'm stupid. I don't know. But I feel like it's a Nash meets Bull where he is that sizable body, and he has great scoring chances, but he'll also throw down and intimidate you and be that goon in a sense that we need on the team.
Yeah, and I think that – that's with a lot of – there's always one guy on the line that will willing to throw down fisticuffs. Dubinsky's on one line. Foligno's on another. Calvert's on another. And Josh Anderson. So you got guys that are willing to drop the gloves on all three lines to protect their guys. And speaking of now this podcast was broadcast on Saturday after we beat Calgary. Mm-hmm. Winberg got into his first fight. What the heck?
I was watching that game in my apartment right here with my roommate. And as soon as he threw down, he dropped the gloves. I kind of almost wanted to look away because I didn't want to see the aftermath of Winberg. I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. It was like your kid getting in his first fight. You don't know how it's going to go. And But yeah, I mean, I watched it, and me and my roommate were like, yeah. I mean, he held his own.
Yeah.
I mean, even Torts talked about it. He had a great right hand and a great left hand hook. I don't know
what
he said, but yeah, he.
I was at our bar, and this girl yells out, "Don't mess up his face."
No, he did get a little scratch right under the eye there.
I'm telling you what, his face is taking a beating, and if he had a modeling contract still, his age is probably ticked. Like,
it'll heal over. He'll be good.
Yeah. Hey,
that got me thinking, though. When did you get in your first fight, and what brought it about?
My first fight was, oh, my gosh. All right, so this is senior year of high school. I wasn't really a fighter. I was a fun-loving guy and stuff. But caught this guy that was dating my sister, kissing another girl at a basketball game.
Mm.
Dude, like, family pride just came in. Like, and I came around the corner. I saw him, like, making out with this girl. And I'm like, what's going on, bro? He's like, no, it's not what you think. What do you think? So I was flaming mad.
Yeah.
Like, everything in my body was like, I'm going to beat the living daylights out of this guy. And so I, like, kind of walked it off a little bit, and then he was trying to, like, smooth it over by coming over and finding me. And I'm no joke. Like, and you got to remember, I came from, like, a country school. Like, that's how you battled.
Yeah.
We were in the hallway, in the senior locker room hallway. There are two state office, like, I think it was sheriffs, two sheriffs down at the end of the hallway. I literally fought him. I took his letter jacket, grabbed it over his head, over his face, and I just started wailing on him. And, like, everybody's like, oh, my God. And I was like, the hockey – because I'll be honest with you. The football school I went to, I was the only hockey fan. I wore hockey jerseys all the time. So this is probably a result of karma coming back that we're doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just started wailing on this guy. He had a bloody lip. He had a black eye.
Yeah.
And I won that fight. And you don't enrage a pfeffer.
Like, no, you don't.
I think a lot of people that know me have seen me with my...
When Matt gets frustrated, you can literally see steam come out of his ears like in a cartoon.
It is. And I wear it on my face a lot. And,
yeah. Do you have resting B-I-T-C-H face?
I don't know about that, but I get... Like, I don't know. I think I just have a passion for making sure that things are proper. Like, one of our very first viewing parties, some... kid came over to the jukebox, and
so we were in Athens, Ohio. This is the first artillery viewing party, and we had the sound turned on to the game. You know, we had an agreement with the bar to, you know, have all the TVs on, the sound, everything on, and then this happens.
Yeah, and so the way the bar was set up was that the jukebox overrode the game audio. So this jerk kid, knowing full well that we're all there watching the hockey game, goes in and plays this 8-minute dreary song, and I was fuming. Like I wanted to take this kid outside and beat the living daylights out of him. And I literally had my hockey flag with me, like the hockey stick flag.
You had the hockey stick flag, and you were – after that song played and it stopped, you were literally standing in front of the jukebox with your with your stick, like, kind of tilted like you were going to battle. And you were just protecting the jukebox, and nobody was allowed to ever play a song during the
literally, and and for good reason, because, like, we were right in that crunch hunt. That was right before the fifth line stuff came around.
Yeah,
and we needed that game against the Islanders. It was a Sunday afternoon game, and obviously, if you know anything about OU, Sunday is hangover day. And so
we had a great crowd, though.
We do.
We were at Pigskin, and every single seat had a table.
Gang Green was there. Gang Green, a few of the hockey players showed up from the club team, and it was a great time. But that moment, like, man, like, that enraged me, because there's 150 people there watching this game, and this kid just, like, wanted to be just a complete a-hole.
Yeah. My first fight, I kind of have two, because I don't think I've ever been in a full fight.
It's been like a scrum? It's
been a little scrum. One was, I think I was in ninth grade, and I walked into my math class with Mr. Feldy, and two people that were there at school were not in class. And he asked, well, you guys know where these people are? And I said, actually, yeah, I saw them both in the hallway. And Mr. Feldy's like, hey, can you go run and get them? I was like, all right, that's cool, I'll go get them. Go out, and I'm like, hey, we're starting class. Mr. Feldy told me to come out and get you. They had a few choice words for me. I don't know why. I wasn't being like a teacher's pet. I was just going out to get him and say, hey.
You were being a good soldier.
Exactly. Being a good soldier. And they didn't think that. They thought I was just being a little suck-up. And so they had a few choice words. For whatever reason that day, I wasn't having it. I turned around and I pretty much said, "Say it one more time, I dare you." And they said it, and I grabbed one of them, and I just threw them up against the locker to where it made like a little dent in the locker.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a good time. And then, we both got called to the principal's office. And
I think I kind of remember this.
Yeah, it was with one of the basketball players. I won't mention his name. But we had a little rivalry with each other during high school. I remember this now.
Because obviously me and Jordan are family. We heard a lot of stuff like that. So it's like we always heard like, you know, like, "Oh, my God, Jordan got in a fight." And we're like, "What? No."
Yeah. So that was a good time.
Yeah.
Then another time I was at Otterbein visiting my best friend. And I went to OU. He went to Otterbein. I really didn't know Otterbein's campus. We ended up getting separated. We were at a party. Got separated. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. There were things inside of us, like drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So we were not thinking rationally.
Who does?
Yeah. So I couldn't find him the whole night. And I think it was wintertime. So I was cold, like walking, trying to find his dorm room. Finally, I get to his dorm and I'm led into the building. I pound on his door. He's just there sleeping. And like, I literally grab him out and I punch him right in the face.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know if it was a fight, but it was pure frustration on my end.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next day and we both were fine. We're like, whatever, it happened, it's over.
Think that's a hockey fight. That's basically
I'm just gonna punch you now because you pissed me off, but we'll be fine afterwards.
Did you sit 5 minutes in the box?
I think I did. I mean, I slept on a concrete floor. Yeah. So I think that was pretty much 5 minutes.
It was really
in the box.
Funny because like the sheriffs did nothing when I beat up that one kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm arrested. Well, I was 18 at the time. The kid was like 16.
Yeah.
So like, there's a possibility of getting in trouble, but I think they just wanted to watch a good fight.
Yeah. You went to Licking Valley. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't.
They just have at it, boys.
But like everybody stopped messing. Like, it was really funny. Like, I should have done it. It's almost like prison rules in high school. You have to beat up somebody on the first day to prove that like, okay, don't mess with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have done that like a long time ago before high school was over. Cause I did that my senior year. I'm like, everybody respected me after that. They're like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
And they're like,
sometimes you just gotta lay it down sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what Wimberg did. Wimberg kind of laid down.
He set the tone for the whole game.
Yeah. He laid down the respect.
When,
it's like,
yeah. When your guy that's not a fighter fights.
Yeah.
That the whole team's kind of like, oh crap. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go, boys.
I noticed that right before the commercial break that obviously you have to wait for a dead puck for them to get out of the box. And right as they were going to commercial break, Hartsey and everybody was like Hartsey was like a proud dad.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was like, he was tapping his stick on the side of the board and he was like, "Way to go, Wimberg." But like, everybody has had some kind of scrum or fight. You know, obviously, it's not like you're trying to battle. You're not always trying to battle wits. Sometimes it gets physical.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, like, you know, Wimberg was trying to say, "Hey, listen, you know, he wasn't going to get pushed around." Mm-hmm. And that was a nasty hit that Tkachuk put on Saad at that point. And so, hey, Wimberg, kudos to you.
Kudos to Wimberg.
And, I mean, Team IKEA just stepped up, man.
Yeah.
I William Karlsson has been making some plays away from the puck. And I'm telling you, like, that was – like, I hate to say that because everybody loves James Wisniewski. He was always a good fan favorite guy. But that trade was so key.
Yeah.
Because those guys, they feed off of – like, Wimberg and Karlsson, those guys have brought a new energy to this team. And you could tell in their work ethic.
Yeah.
And so, like, that James Wisniewski thing, like, when we traded him, everybody's like, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do?"
Yeah.
And it worked out perfect. I feel bad for Anaheim because they were probably waiting on him to –
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed Wisniewski didn't work out for them. Obviously, he was injury-ridden, but hey, it happens. That's the sport of hockey. Yeah. But
as a matter of fact, he's playing in the KHL right now with a couple other former Jackets.
Well, I hope he comes back around. But hey, let's talk about another young, great player, our rookie, Zach Werenski.
Oh, my gosh.
He currently has 6 goals, 14 assists, 20 points, and so – he's on a record-setting pace for a rookie defenseman for the Blue Jackets.
Not just that, I think in the NHL.
Yeah, that too. Ryan Murray, his rookie season, the entire season, had 4 goals, 17 assists, 21 points. Werenski has 6 goals, 14 assists, 20 points. We're only not even a third through the season.
Yeah.
So he's going to shatter that record.
Yeah, and it's because of the system that Torts has set up around these guys. I mean, it's insane to think about because Torts is one of those guys that, like, you know, he's very organized. Like, people might think that he's really erratic, you know, because he's on the bench. He's erratic because his system, he knows it works. He knows it can work.
Yeah.
And when that system gets kind of messed around with, that's when he gets kind of frustrated. The system has been working. Mm-hmm. Torts is a new coach. And I think
he's always stressed into that. He's in every, you know, interview, mm-hmm. everything, every speech he gives to these guys that the fans have been able to hear, he always says, you know, you got to buy into the system.
Right. And
it'll pay off over time.
And I think that's what's happened with his two previous jobs they had with New York and Vancouver is there were guys and even management not buying into the system. And
those are big markets with a lot of superstars. So not to say those stars aren't going to buy into the way that he's doing, but a lot of times superstars, you know, can butt heads.
Yeah.
Because there's too many personalities in the room.
And not just that, they might have acquired bad habits from previous playing days.
Yeah.
I know some of the players that we've gotten, they have bad habits. And it's hard to break those because it's worked for them in the past. And so for everybody to buy into this new system, for everybody to kind of do this, is insane. And Torts has proven everybody wrong, especially after that showing in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that, like, he literally said, no, I'm not flying home to Columbus. I'm driving so I can get all the fumes out of my body because of what happened with Team USA at the World Cup. And this culture now at the Blue Jackets is running like a oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And everybody that doubted Torts, like, we obviously, me and you, we're Torts fans.
I love him.
Yeah, and, you know,
I love him even more after what he said about the national anthem.
Yeah.
You don't stand for that, you're sitting down.
Yeah, and
America.
America. America. But, like, obviously he has a great point because his son is in the Army Rangers. I mean, they don't know where he's at half the time. And so there's a lot of national pride with that boy.
Oh, yeah.
And rightfully so. But
and he loves dogs.
Yeah, he loves puppies. Yeah. Like, who was it that got a puppy last year, and he was like on all fours trying to play with the dog. Yeah. That picture is priceless. Like that just.
Yeah, he was in the Blue Jackets hallway to get into their locker room, and there was like a little puppy there in the hallway, and he was literally on. Torts was on all fours.
Yeah.
Playing with his dog. It was great. It was one of the best pictures I think I've seen of Torts.
Yeah, and
he said he likes dogs more than people.
No, rightfully so.
Yeah.
People. Can't.
I think we all slightly might. Like, dogs more than people.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all have our pets that we like more than actual people, even cats sometimes.
Eh.
Well, I'm with
Hartnell's a cat guy.
I'm with Hartnell.
Nah.
He's my best friend, so.
Sure. Okay.
He is.
Okay.
Hey, he confirmed it.
He confirmed it on a podcast, but walk up to him in the hallway and see if he remembers your name.
He might. I don't know. But you know what, though? It holds up in court, okay?
It does. We do have it on record. So.
Yeah, so. Anyway. And so this culture that Torts has built, like, I mean, that's why I'm touching on this, is a major reason for the success. Mm-hmm. Between the combination of Bobrovsky and Torts, and not just that, the hockey IQ on this team has gotten way higher, way better. Mm-hmm. I think that's a key thing. Like, it's so easy to hit the ice and go play erratically. But when your hockey IQ is thinking 2 to 3 plays ahead, and that's what made Wayne Gretzky so good. They said everybody else was 2 plays ahead. Wayne Gretzky was 4 plays ahead. This is what's making this team way better. They're 3 plays ahead in their mind. They have it ingrained in them from Torts to say this is the process. Mm-hmm. And when they see the situation, call for that stuff. Like last night against Calgary, Brandon Saad. I mean, like, just keeping his stick active and getting the feed from Winberg, he was wide open for that wrist shot, and he used the screen in front of him. There was one of the players from Calgary, great screen. He just flipped it in. There was no chance for that goalie to get it. So
yeah, that was beautiful.
That's the hockey IQ I'm talking about. Like, using the screen, not trying to crash the net all the time, and being smart with the puck. Mm-hmm. And
seems like we've kind of gotten rid of that, at least from what I've seen, I don't know, the dump and chase mentality.
We still have elements of it.
Yeah. But I mean, there's certain points in the game where you need to use that.
Right.
Yes. But it seems like the past couple years, that's all we did when we got the puck.
And it was wearing our players out.
Yeah.
It was, and that's also a result of conditioning. Mm-hmm. Our conditioning has gotten way better there.
We're a third period team now. That's
yeah,
why.
Well, and not just that. Like, just recently they just did a special on Fox Sports Ohio regarding their off day in Canada. They went to work out. They're like, yeah, we're going to go hit the weight room. That's not a mentality we've had with the Blue Jackets. Like,
and no morning skates too, which is
revolutionary to NHL
when
guys.
When you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Torch is like, you're literally making these guys drive to the arena twice a day, mm-hmm. put on their pads, take off their pads, put on their pads again, take off their pads. I mean, you're wearing yourself out. Yeah. I mean, I played baseball for 18 years, and just putting on a baseball uniform once a day was enough for me. I didn't want to do it twice. So, I mean, and theoretically, in my mind, I think that makes sense. I'm surprised more teams don't do it.
Well, and not just that. When guys are home, they're also spending more time with their families.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of guys that have families, they're able to see their wives, see their kids, because sometimes hockey season's a blur for them. Mm. They're like, oh, yeah, that kid got bigger over the last 7 months. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're nine? Yeah. And a lot of players, they don't get that luxury.
Speaking of nine-year-olds, I'm just kidding. Lucas Sedlak scored his first NHL career goal after he was on our podcast.
He has a smile of a child, though.
He does. Dude, he is always smiling.
I love it. Yeah.
It's I remember he got a little scrum down by the net with an opposing goalie. Or he went down. I think he like put a little snow on the goalie, and another defenseman came over and took exception to that. And the whole time he was in the scrum, he had the biggest grin on his face.
I know.
Like, I want to love the – I don't know. He just loves the game of hockey. I mean, that's just –
You could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell.
And the way he has a smile on his face when he's playing hockey is the way I have a smile on my face when I'm drinking beer.
Oh, my gosh. Like, when he got that goal in Detroit the other day, I was so happy for that cat. I was just like –
And then he got another one right after
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean,
Rimmer said, you know, when you get that first one, they just start coming.
Coming in bunches. Yeah. And that when he got that goal in Detroit, I was just like the whole place we were at. Obviously, I go watch the games at our bar a lot. The whole place erupted. They're like, "Oh my God, it's Sedlak!" Like,
yeah.
And I will tell you this: it's becoming a really good hotbed to go watch the game. Last night, I was counting. There was over 220 people in our bar just to watch the hockey game. And then as the game was over, everybody thinned out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can jump on the bandwagon. We don't bite.
Yeah.
The fifth line is all about bandwagon.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, if you are a fan of the Jackets and you take offense to people hopping on a bandwagon, our bandwagon, you need to reevaluate yourself.
Yeah.
Because the more, the merrier. And if you're a fan, you know what? You got to start somewhere.
Right.
Or if you're a casual fan, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So you might as well just hop on now.
Yeah. I mean, and you've probably seen my Twitter post. Like, I do have a – like, and this is just for me personally – And all my views are expressly my views. But, like, we do have an Ohio State problem, and rightfully so. A lot of people go to Ohio State.
It's not a problem. It's Columbus, and I understand that.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
We don't.
Ohio State, well, Columbus will always be Ohio State territory, and that's never going to change, and that's fine with me.
Right. But give equal view to the Blue Jackets, who are doing so well. I watched a few newscasts before the Buckeyes got to a bowl game, and they totally skipped over the Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all about the Buckeyes, and I want them to do good. I want the Buckeyes to do good, but also give equal time to the rest of the teams that are here. We have the Columbus Crew, who, you know, they didn't have the greatest season this year, but last year, my God, they're in the MLS final. And, you know, same thing with the Blue Jackets right now. We are the hottest team in the NHL right now. Everybody's going to say Philadelphia or somebody else. I'm like, no.
Which I know this, like I said, we're doing this podcast on Saturday afternoon. So when you listen to it, you know, take that into perspective. But the Flyers did lose today.
Yeah.
3-1 to the Stars.
So now we
snapped their, was it 10-game win streak?
Yeah.
So we now have the
longest.
We're tied with the Penguins for the longest active.
No, Penguins won last night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No,
oh.
I didn't.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, so yeah, we have the longest.
I passed out at like 9 o'clock last night, and I disconnected myself from everything in the world.
No, yeah, they lost to the Kings in overtime.
Oh, that's great.
But they did get a point, and I don't like spotting points. I hate that. But then again, like, if we're out west, I don't mind giving them a point, but if it's in the east, I'm like, no, you cannot have my point. But
that is great news for us, because that kind of goes to my next talking point here, the Metro Division. I mean, it's before last night with the Pens and today with Philadelphia.
If there's
they haven't lost since like December 4th or something.
Right. If there's
top four teams.
Right, and they're the top four teams in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
And so, like, if there's an emoji for that, it's fire. Like, yeah. I mean, like, the whole Metro is lit, and look, Carolina's at 500. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, like, it's insane. I was hoping Carolina would have beaten Washington last night, but it didn't happen. Washington kind of came back and beat them, but. It, the whole Metro is hard this year, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's good, because when we get to playoff time, and I'm saying that very sheepishly, well, that's going to help us out, because we played such a hard schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We need the hard schedule.
Yeah, I mean, that'll definitely help you in the long run. You know,
because then we know what the grind's going to be like.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, Like every time I think of like the Blue Jackets getting ready for the season, the montage from like the Mighty Ducks training in their movie, like the music starts hitting and it's like dun 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 dun, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But the mixture of veterans and rookies on this team is perfect. It's just unbelievable. And like we got a hard stretch coming up. This upcoming week, we have L.A. at home on Tuesday. We also have Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh on Thursday.
And then on Friday is Montreal.
Which is a good segment into social media night at Nationwide Arena for the Montreal game. If you haven't purchased your ticket, you need to. It's $35. Is that right?
$35.
The seats themselves are sold out.
Yes.
But it's on the Sky Terrace, and if you know anything about the Sky Terrace, there's a platform level where you can stand and watch, and there's tables where you can stand at and watch the game.
Right.
And there's standing room only seats still available for that.
At this point, I think right now they're still selling them, and if we don't have any room in the Sky Terrace, you'll still be able to get the shirt.
Mm-hmm. There's a free shirt giveaway. There's a meet and greet with Team IKEA, which is of course Alexander Wittenberg and William Karlsson. There's also a special puck that they're doing. I don't know if I don't think you get the puck. You maybe get a chance to win the puck.
Yeah, you get
it says
win
like
the
puck. Social media night on the puck itself.
Yeah.
A lot of major social media influencers within the CBJ community are going to be there.
We're considered social celebrities.
I guess you could put us as that.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We're going to be there. I know a couple other of the larger
there's a podcast going to be up there. BLR and BSH. I can't keep up with all these podcasts.
I had this random thought the other day, and I almost tweeted it, but I didn't. And it was like when we started the artillery in 2014, there were probably 5 Blue Jackets fan related websites, podcasts, Twitter accounts altogether, just like 5. And ever since we started the artillery, there's like a new one each week, and I can't keep track.
I can't keep track either. It's like – and kudos, because that
– Oh, I love it. I'm not complaining at all. Like, I love it. Like, that's great. That's great for our community.
Well, I mean, kudos to the fans stepping up and wanting to be part of this.
Yeah.
And that's why we have Social Media Night, because of that community.
Yep. The fact that – I think there's 300 seats up in that Sky Terrace, and they sold out within a couple days.
Well, I mean, like, at one point before we came on the scene, there was only one podcast related to the Blue Jackets. Actually, two. Dark Blue Jacket and DKM. DKM's our godfathers. Like we're their godsons.
They haven't had a podcast in a while, but if you don't know who DKM Hockey is, follow them right now on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just DKM underscore hockey.
I will be there for the reunion tour. Like, yeah. I will be front and center. Yeah, like, I will be there.
Yeah, they're all old guys now. I mean,
they're dads.
They're all dads. They all have, I think there's a total of 18 children they have now.
Yeah, this is what happens when you adult.
Yeah, you crank out children all the time.
But I cannot wait to see everybody there. And, let's not mention this. But there's a possibility of winning jerseys off the players' backs during the game. And it was mentioned in that.
You know, I think I'm going to donate the shirt off my back for a contest.
Yeah, I mean, I might just take off my shirt, too, and just sign I'll sign my fifth line hoodie.
There you go.
And then I'll be naked pretty much the rest of the night.
It's all right. If we're still streaking, it gives us every right to be naked because we got to go streaking.
Yeah, last night was the official night to, like, be naked. Like, it was put out there.
Yeah, it was.
It was funny. But, like, it's so good to be a Blue Jackets fan right now. Like, when the podcast from the beginning of the season we had Sod on to now is, like, night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, when we had Sodder on, we had just come off of two losses at the beginning of the season. It's like, oh, here mm-hmm. we go.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously – you know, nobody anticipated this type of work that was put in by the team. But, like, obviously, we believe in Torts. Excuse me. And, oh, my gosh. Like, this is magical.
It is. It's magical. I'm excited. Can you mute your mic? You're going to cough the whole time?
I don't have the switchboard here, so it's, like, no buttons.
You're number two because I'm always number one.
Are you tired?
There's a mute button. If you ever got a cough, just reach over and hit that mute button.
I need to. I'm sorry about that, guys, but I think everybody right now in Ohio is fighting a cold because we're getting the most miserable weather right now.
It is. It's a little rough.
We battled rain, sleet, snow, everything. I wish we were just Cleveland, just had snow. Like, I'd be like, okay.
People can't drive in the snow.
Yeah, but
they're idiots. They're stupid.
Well, I know, but people can't drive in this either. Like, it's literally ice outside right now. Like, it's
not on the roads.
Yeah.
No, I was just out there. The roads are fine. There's fog.
I was just out there before I got here. There is carnage out there of cars. Like, I mean, it's like bumpers, wheels, stuff like that. And there's guardrails that are bent out of shape.
Okay. Well, maybe in the morning there was ice. But right now the roads are fine. There's wet.
Yeah, but you can't bank on everybody being a good driver.
Well, not in Ohio.
No.
God, they're awful.
Yeah, we could say that proudly. We're from Ohio. We're allowed to say that. Like, we're terrible.
I work downtown, and I live in New Albany, and it's a 15-minute drive with no traffic. When I commute to work, it takes me 45 minutes there and back.
I'm the same boat now. Like, I go from Pickerington all the way down to Hilliard. It is 40 minutes.
I don't understand rush hour and how cars get backed up. If we all go the same speed, it shouldn't happen.
Well, and this is one of those things this is us ranting. This is our this is what grinds our gears.
This is our podcast. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Right. But, like, in New York and New Jersey, they have truck lanes. Semi trucks have their own lane, cars have their own. And trucks they're mandated to go a certain speed. If it's 70, they're allowed to go 70, but not past that. Cars in New York can go 85 miles an hour and not get pulled over.
That's the way it should be.
Exactly. So, like, have a car lane and have a truck lane, Ohio.
And a lot of states have a minimum speed that you are supposed to go. If you go below that speed, you get pulled over.
Right.
There's a 55 is the speed limit, but 45 is your minimum speed. If you're going below 45, they'll pull you over.
Right. And I think Ohio has that law in there.
That's not posted on the road, though.
It's not posted on the road. Yeah, they do have a law, though. If it's an unsafe low speed, it's up to the discernment of the officer that's watching it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've seen some older ladies, like, get lost, and they're like,
okay, here's another thing. Once you hit 50, you need to go take your driver's test again.
Well,
and if you are just – if you're terrible, just call an Uber.
I think it's and here's the thing. I think it should be 60, 65, and then you have to take your test every 2 years instead of every four or five. Because, like, I get my license renewed this year. It should be – like, and I'll call it the Pfeffer bill. Like, I will. I'll put it in the Senate. It should be that after 65 – and I'm not ageism. Like, I think there are guys – who are very smart at that age, but your motor skills do decrease.
Yeah.
And every 2 years, I think you should have to take your motor skill test, because we've seen family members in a two-year span, be able to drive just like anybody else to 2 years, like not be able to even hit the road properly. And, like, it's one of those things that's kind of dangerous.
Well, we're going to run for Senate.
There you go. Hey, listen, vote artillery.
Yeah, vote artillery.
Yeah.
We will make Ohio safe again on the roads.
Maybe we should go for Secretary of Transportation.
We could do that.
Yeah, we could do that.
And then I could maybe be the designated survivor when the Capitol accidentally blows up.
Dude, that show
and
is
And then
nuts.
I could be president.
Dude, listen. If that show...
Yeah. It's another side note. Designated survivor on ABC. Not saying... Disregard my words. I don't want the Capitol to ever blow up. But the show itself is great.
Oh, my gosh. It's a hypothetical scenario, and they built a show off of this.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, Kiefer Sutherland can do no wrong.
No,
Jack Bauer can't.
So, we're going to wrap up the podcast in a second, but synopsis of the show. So, State of the Union address is happening. Every person, every Senate member, House member, the president, his cabinet is all at the Capitol building for the State of the Union. Well, just in case of any catastrophic event, they keep one member of his cabinet in a safe, secure, undisclosed location, just in case everybody dies at the Capitol. Well, that happens. Kiefer Sutherland's like the Secretary of Urban and Housing Development.
Yeah, like Interior or something. Yeah,
he's like tucked away in a bunker. Capitol building blows up. Everybody dies. He's now the President of the United States. That's the whole synopsis of the show, and it's incredible.
Yeah, and here's another thing, too. During that day, he was let go, but they still made him the – They just did that as a
little plot twist.
Yeah, he was fired that day, and so like they really didn't want him.
But
to
like
stay.
The paperwork really didn't go through yet.
Yeah,
but he still became president of the United States. So
it was almost kind of like a novelty. It was like, well, you're just staying here because obviously we don't want you anymore.
Yeah, it was great. It's a great show. It's not coming back on until March.
I know. Well, there's a lot of shows like Walking Dead. Obviously, left us hanging. I think you know I'm not going to spoil anything, but. Things are happening, and Negan is, like, one of the most ruthless people I've ever seen.
He is, but here's a little rant about The Walking Dead. So, I was an avid watcher of The Walking Dead. Still watch it to this day. It moves at a snail's pace.
It does.
I understand it, but at the same time, maybe pick it up, like, three notches. It's just so slow, and that's affecting their viewership. They're down, like, 40%.
Oh, really?
From last season.
Well, and also, that's... Because, you know,
so much is just going on. I think it's becoming overwhelming for the casual Walking Dead fan. That's kind of what I am.
Well, listen, those two characters they killed off at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, my heart was on the floor, and I wanted to curl up in a fetal position and cry. But at the same time, this is how a show has to move sometimes, especially in post-apocalyptic America.
I mean, maybe this season, like, they're setting up for so much more next season maybe it'll all just kind of snowball effect.
Well, everybody knows there will be some kind of war of some sort. So I think the war will be...
Right now, but I'm just... I just can't follow. Follow it, but it's just so slow.
I want to be King Ezekiel, though. I want to have a pet tiger.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy has a pet tiger. Like, listen... The guy has a pet tiger.
That'd be legit.
Dude, listen, like, that's baller status. Like, I want to walk to the Blue Jackets game. Like, listen, this is my pet tiger. He's my service tiger. And you have to let me in.
I don't think you'd get in. But, hey, all right, we're done ranting about that.
We're
going to close out the podcast. Matt, you wanted to touch on one subject before we close it out.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
One of the things that happened today was they had the memorial service for John Glenn.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about history of Ohio, John Glenn is, like, probably the top-notch guy. Like, this is the guy between him and Neil Armstrong. These guys were the pioneers of aviation and space. It's one of those things that I always believe in Ohio. It's full of common men that do uncommon things. It's kind of like what Herb Brooks said. You must become uncommon. Mm-hmm. John Glenn became uncommon. He dreamed, and it inspired me at a young age. Actually, wanted to go into aeronautics and space, and obviously it didn't happen because obviously hockey took over my life. But
you did go to space camp, though.
I did. I went to space camp in Huntsville, Alabama, and when I walked in, I said, "Hey, I'm from Columbus, Ohio," and they said, "Oh yeah, that's where John Glenn's from."
Yeah,
and which is kind of true. He was actually from New Concord, and that whole city is named after him, basically, because.
Now Port Columbus is John Glenn International,
yeah,
which I thought was a pretty cool thing.
It's amazing to see what common people can do when they have uncommon goals.
Yeah.
And that's what we have right now. We're a common team. Nobody really cares about us, but we're doing uncommon things right now. And it's so great to have that kind of inspiration from an Ohioan that literally paved the way for people. I mean, he was the first man to orbit the Earth, but he was also like the oldest guy to ever go up into space. And he did it for country. He didn't do it for himself. He did it because he kind of did it selfishly because he wanted to go. He loved flight, but he also did it because he said, you know what, that research that I just did as a 77-year-old man going into space, it's going to help us down here on Earth. And to have that mentality, to have that service mentality is insane. And I got to meet him when I was very young. I got to meet him at a fundraiser out in Newark. I was performing with a – yeah, this is funny. I used to be in a glee club. I used to sing. There you go. It's my deep, dark secret on the podcast. We were awesome. We were called Phase 2.
Oh, wow.
But
sounds like a boy band from the 90s.
It was, actually. Remember?
Was it?
Yeah, remember the Winans? They had the Phase 2.
Oh, the Winans.
Yeah, remember that?
If you're a church kid, you know all about the Winans.
You know about the Winans. But anyway, we were all sitting in line, and he was getting ready to go back up on stage and talk. And he shook all of our hands and said, thank you for coming. And I shook his hand. He's like, thank you, young man, for coming. I was like, thank you very much. He said, I was like, you're a good inspiration. He's like, he's like, oh, really? He's like, what do you want to plan to do? And I said, well, at the time, I want to go into graphic art because I was really good at doing art. And obviously, you know, I've done some logos, T-shirts here and there. But he's like, oh, and he's like, do you want to do anything else? He's like, well, I used to want to go into space like you did. And he's like, oh, really? And so we started talking about space camp for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was so genuine. So down to earth, genuine. And this is a guy who's like 75, 76 years old. He's in the middle of his training going up into space. And I'm like, this guy's awesome. And all I want to say is, I know I'm rambling, but this guy was the true Ohioan. I think the respect that was given today from, you know, the vice president was there. All the highways were shut down for his processional.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so moving to see all these people in Ohio give a lasting respect to a man that was just a guy, a small town kid from New Concord that decided, you know what, I'm going to join the Marines, I'm going to fight for my country in two wars, and then on top of that, I'm going to join the space program and be the first man to orbit the Earth in, no joke, a capsule the size of a tuna can. Like, you can only fit one human being in there, and that's it. And he went into space, dared to dream, and came back to Earth safe. And then on top of that, decide, you know what, I'm gonna go into politics. I'm gonna make a change in my community. Those are just lofty goals to aspire to. And I just wanted to give homage to the great John Glenn from New Concord, Ohio. Godspeed, John Glenn. That's all I want to say.
That was beautiful. Well said.
Yeah.
So we'll end it on that note. I mean, there's nothing else to say after that. But yeah, hey, thanks for tuning in to the Fifth Line Podcast. Until next time, I'm Jordan.
I'm Matt. Keep the fifth line hot.
There it is.